You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. And we are glad that you have tuned into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. You can catch this program several times throughout the day, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening here on WMIE. Also, the sister station, WWBC 1510 AM, it airs there 10:30 of a morning. And that is 1510 a.m., or depending upon what part of the county you're in, you may get a stronger signal at 94.7 FM or 99.9 FM or 100.7 FM. And so if you happen to miss the 8:30, all is not lost. You can catch it at 10:30 or 5 p.m. Or if that doesn't work out for you, you can log on to the WMIEFM.com. Website. There is, I believe it's up at the top of the page now, there is an on-demand feature that you can click on. You can type in the date, and I don't know if the program shows up later in the day of the broadcast. I believe it does. If not, it would be up there within the next day or so. So if you miss a program, want to find out what happened on the Refresh radio program, you can log in there. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and visit Merritt Assembly of God. One of the things that I shared with our congregation here a couple of weeks ago is that the places that God visits, that he brings his presence, that when he is there, he enriches that environment. He enriches that place. And so we pray that when you come to Merritt Assembly of God, and as we worship the Lord, first of all, that you come ready to worship him. And then second, that you would be expecting that God is going to show up with all of his entourage. He's going to show up with salvation. He's going to show up with healing. He's going to show up with mercy and love and grace and favor and, the blessings of wisdom and blessings of every nature. That's what we are believing for. So I do tell people this. I'm not here to create false expectations. Merritt Assembly of God is not one of the larger congregations, but we're a small congregation with a heart to do big things for God. And so here a few weeks ago, I was looking after the service, and I realized that we had nursery, we had toddler children's church, and we had regular children's church all at the same day. And while that may be normal for mega churches and things like that, that was the first time that that had happened for us in a long, long time. And I was praising the Lord because we believe that church should be a generational impacting encounter with the living God. So if you choose to come and visit with us, please wait around so I can introduce myself and get to meet you. And we'll look forward to seeing you. If not in church, we'll see you here on the Refresh radio program. So I'm going to take you back to Psalm 69, verse number 5. It's a prayer of David. I talked a little bit about David's confession yesterday. The reality was he had problems everywhere. He was drowning in problems, literally. And says here, O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me. Because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Now you can see in Psalm 69 that there are some messianic applications when it comes to Jesus. For instance, the verse that says, because zeal for your house has eaten me up. There's another place in this chapter where it talks about, in verse number 21, they also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. So you can see that that is fulfilled up on the cross. So there are those applications, but there's also a great deal of truth in this psalm that we could learn from. So yesterday we concluded talking that God is aware, he knows our foolishness, and our sins are not hidden from God, and we have the privilege of crying out, God, save me. There are many people in 2025, it's happened before and it will probably happen after, that people believe that because they have said a prayer that they are able to go on and sin and live like they want to, and they do so without fear of consequence. But I would tell you that even though the New Testament says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer is God forbid. We're not supposed to treat the grace of God as a license to sin. That David here in Psalm 69 realizes that there is a detrimental effect not only upon himself, but upon those around him whenever he embraces foolishness and sin. So, verse 5, O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Listen to verse number 6. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. So one of my goals, I don't know that I'm pretty sure that I have not achieved this with 100% success rate, but I really don't want to be the reason that people choose not to put their faith in Jesus Christ. I know that they have got to make that decision for themselves, but I do not want to be a source of shame or reproach. I don't want to be a hindrance or an obstacle to people becoming believers. And that's what foolishness does, and that's what sin does. And so even this year and the year before, and I'm sure years and years, there has been way too much things that have been tolerated in the kingdom of God, and they don't stand up to scrutiny, if you will, as necessarily representing the kingdom of God. So being a pastor, there's a high responsibility. I'm not supposed to bring reproach to the name of the Lord, nor am I supposed to bring reproach to Merit Assembly of God, or my family, or my friends. And so David prays here, and he's like, God, I do not want those who are actively waiting on you to see the foolish things or the sinful things that I have done and then be ashamed because of me. So we need to be examples, especially to our family. Our families have a tendency to replicate what they see, not necessarily what they hear. And so I want to live a life that is free from the stronghold of substance abuse, because I don't want my family to fall prey to the same stronghold, because I've seen what the end of that journey looks like, and it looks miserable. I don't want to be a source of embarrassment because I was not a person who could keep my covenant with my wife. I want to show my family what it looks like to do covenant in Christ till death do us part. So there was a realization here in David's life that he realized some of his sinful behavior and his foolishness had the possibility of having a negative impact on the kingdom of God, and that there were going to be people who actually were hungry for the things of God, but because of things that David did, that now they were ashamed of David. And if God was the one who put David on the throne, it's very easy for people to extrapolate, well, if that's the way the person that God wants to use, then I don't want to have anything to do with him. So let me just address this for just a moment. If you have been hurt or embarrassed by the behavior of some people who were supposed to be serving God, but yet they embraced some foolishness, and they were engaged in sinful behavior instead of holy behavior, I want to encourage you, don't think that that went unnoticed by God, because even David said, God, you know all about this stuff. And our job is not to pray for judgment. Our responsibility is to pray for repentance and reconciliation and, you know, sometimes even restitution in those situations. So don't allow bitterness. I'm preaching a series, and it's holiness, wholeness, and holiness. That's my series. HOLEYNESS to wholeness, WHOLENESS, and holiness, HOLINESS. All of us have some damaged areas in our life. We have holes. And so as I preached on that, I've preached about some of the holes that people have in their life. And, you know, God wants to come and fill those. And I will tell you specifically that there is a spiritual hole in every single person that only God can fill. I don't remember where I was. Because I've done so much construction, I kind of noticed little things. And I noticed in this one particular environment, like I say, I don't remember where it was. I just remember seeing that the bit, the little device that would go onto a screw gun or a drill motor that you would use to either tighten or loosen this particular attachment and on this, I don't remember what it was, but it had a very odd shape. It had, let's see, I believe it had six sides, but two of the sides were not symmetrical with the others. And I found that to be very odd. It's like, okay, why do they have that? There was also a little thing in the middle of it, and so it was going to require a very specific bit, a bit that was intentionally designed to fill that particular screw head so that it could function the way that it needed to function. And no matter how you tried it with any other shaped bit, it wasn't going to work. And I can tell you that that is the reality with spiritual issues. The only way to fill the spiritual void in a person's life is with the God who created mankind in his own image. He created us for his fellowship, for his pleasure, for his purpose. And sin has come in, and instead of being able to walk with God in holiness and perfection and say in a sacred lifestyle, we now have all of these damaged areas, and everybody's holes may look differently than your holes, but we need God to fill all of those. So verse number 6, let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me. So, in all honesty, in 2025, there was a person that I knew 40 some years ago, and was not the closest relationship. I just remember a few conversations that I had, and that's all. But come to find out, there were some issues in that person's life, and it has caused a great deal of spiritual trauma to a number of individuals. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me. Our responsibility as Christians is to facilitate people who are seeking God to find him. So it says, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened, ask and it shall be given unto you. Okay? So ask, seek, knock. Those are the three. And I will tell you, if you're going to ask, don't forget about the receiving. If you're going to seek, understand that God wants you to find. And if you knock, don't forget to check the door handle, because sometimes the door is unlocked. You just haven't turned the handle yet. So our privilege as believers is to not put obstacles in front of those people who are looking for God, but instead it's to help them in that search. There's a saying that says many hands make for light work. Well, I will tell you this. When there are many eyes searching for something, looking for something, it can sometimes help the person that initiated the search to find it in a more timely manner. So around our house, my wife and I both avail ourselves of one another when it comes to searching for things. So for me, I might be looking for something that I set down and it grew legs and walked away from where I put it. I know I couldn't have had anything to do with putting it where it was found. But there are a lot of times I can be looking right at something and my wife comes over and says, well, there it is right there. But it was, for me, it was a blind spot. I was looking right at it and couldn't see it. I help her find things that she puts down the same way. And our search techniques may be different. You know, one of us may be looking superficially at the moment, and the other one of us is digging down to see if we can find it. You know, maybe it's concealed, maybe it's buried slightly. The goal is not to minimize the search, but the goal is to make what we're searching for to be found. And so if you're searching for God, I will tell you this, the church is there to help you to find. And we're talking about praising God here. So I'm talking to you about, you know, you in Psalm 69, David started off drowning in problems, and he is now to that place where he is confessing and saying, God, I don't want to be the source of hindrance to people finding you. I want to help them to find you. And whenever we have come to that place, we're getting ready to find God's getting ready to do something special in us. Verse number 8, I'm going to touch on this. It says, I've become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. I want to talk to you about strained relationships a little bit. I didn't set out to talk about that when I was talking about praising God, but it is a reality that all of us deal with. That the people who we love the most can sometimes hurt us more than anybody else. And so David writes here, and I read a book years ago that talked about, you know, some potential issues that David had growing up. His brothers obviously didn't care for him. You can read about that when he shows up on the battlefield with Goliath. Some of that may have had to do with David being anointed king and all of them being passed over. But there were some other theories out there that there may be some unhealthy dynamics that went on in the house. And so I want to encourage you today to live forgiving. Not just being forgiven, but forgiving those around you, especially those that you grew up with. Your siblings tend to be, they're not always, but the majority of the time, your siblings tend to be the longest relationships you have while you are alive here on the earth. And we identify in the body of Christ because we have one father. And so we identify as a family where we are brothers and sisters. In my family, I am thankful that my brother and is saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. He's a licensed minister or a credentialed minister. And then it's not with the Assemblies of God. It's with another organization. My sister and her husband are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and actively serving. My dad is married, and he and his wife, after my mother died, they both love Jesus. They've been serving God for a long, long time, and they've both served on the board. My dad is currently serving on the board. But if you think that all of those relationships are always easy, you would be mistaken. And so we need to remember that the body of Christ is not supposed to be antagonistic, but it's supposed to be complementary. We're supposed to work together. And so make sure that Jesus is on display in your relationships, your fraternal relationships. And when my wife and I came to Florida, we didn't know one single person in Brevard County. Not one. But we went to church and we found family. We found some friends. We found people in the church who grew up with relatives of mine, who grew up, they were related to friends of mine. And it was like, wow, this feels like home. And at Merit Assembly of God, one of the objectives that we have is to create a family situation, not because everybody is related to one another, but because all of us have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, had our sins forgiven, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we're part of God's family. So I would encourage you that as much as is possible with you, that you show grace to your family and that you don't allow strained relationships to create a bitterness or a hardness of your heart. You want to make sure that you continue to show them. If you've got unsaved family members, pray for them. I can testify that God answers those prayers and saves your families. I can share that testimony with you if you come to church. It is an amazing testimony. And I will tell you that if you're having trouble with your earthly relationships, pray about it and ask God what he would have you to do to rectify that situation. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."